good.
Okay, Thursday night, January 19th. I believe tonight is Chaf Beis Teves. And so now we've been saying over some shiurim or saying over some ideas in the first parak of Beitza, but Baruch Hashem, this week we finished the first parak and moved on to the second. And we're going to start the second parak. And the second parak continues on with the halachos of Yontif, but takes a little bit of a diversion into the sugyos of Eruv Tavshilin, something that practically we're a little bit more familiar with than stuff like Beitza Shenolda B'Yontif, or going from Shovach to Shovach, or Treisin, or some of the other things that's discussed in the first parak of the Gemara, because obviously, whenever we have a situation where there's a Yontif that comes out on a Friday, and almost every year you have at least one type of a Yontif coming out on a Friday, with this year's calendar coming up, with Pesach coming out on a Monday night, that leaves us in the fall with the whole world making an Erev Tavshilin for Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is Thursday and Friday, and the B'nai Chutz Laretz making additional Erev Tavshilin for first days of Sukkot and for Simchas Torah / Shmini Atzeres. So again, it's something which is common, and it's something which is practical, something which we are more familiar with. I say practical because maybe it might be two or three times a year at most, but it's something that we're more familiar with. So basically, Me'ikar Hadin, there's no problem of cooking from Yontif to Shabbos. There's a problem of cooking from Yontif to Chol. Could be a Deoraisa, or could be a Derabbanan. However, our Mishnah tells us, nonetheless, Yom Tov Shechal Yos Erev Shabbos, Lo Yavasha B'tchilim Yom Tov L'Shabbos. You shouldn't cook on Friday to use on Shabbos. Aval Mevasha Hu L'Yom Tov. But you're allowed to cook for Yontif, Vim Hosir Hosir L'Shabbos. And if you have any leftovers, that can work for Shabbos. But as Rashi points out, in the second line of the Amud, it says, "Avam vashlo yontif below ha'aroma." It can't be any tricks. In other words, you can't be like, you know, listen, you're having four people for yontif suda and four people for your Friday night suda, but I'll go ahead and I'll make 12 pieces of chicken, or I'll make a gigantic 8-pound roast for, afford all that, but okay, a rich person who's got four people makes an 8-pound roast. You know, obviously you're doing that. You'd be like, oh, look at that. Voila, I got some food left over for Shabbos. Lucky me. Yeah, that we call that harama. And Rashi points out right away on the spot that you can't do that. So it's kind of like, you know, hit or miss. I guess, you know, on one hand, you can't cook extra on purpose. But on the other hand, you can't cook, you're not going to cook nothing, right? So you're basically like, depends really, like, you know, you got to tell everybody, you know, yeah, okay, eat regularly, but, you know, in the back of your mind, you're going to be like, well, I don't want to take that extra little piece because when I have a little something, it's not so comfortable. So therefore, the Mishnah gives another eitz. And the other eitz it gives is, v'yos tetav shomer of Yontif, v'somech alav l'Shabbos. You can prepare a food on Erev Yontif, either, let's say, if Yontif is on Friday, Shabbos, so then it would be on Thursday, or if Yontif in Chutz Laretz, it's more likely is Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, so you prepare it on Wednesday, and that you could rely on Shabbos. You know, use that for Shabbos. And the question is, what does this accomplish?
Well, it has to be cooked item.
Yeah, it's got to be cooked, right. So our
minhag. You don't actually have to cook it yourself.
Right? No, you can buy it if you want to buy it prepared. It's, you know.
And that, like a cooked egg on a piece of matzah.
Yes, yeah, so people use egg and matzah. We'll get to that possibly for a second, why people use egg and why people use matzah. Though it's actually interesting. We might get to a little nafkamina between them today about using egg and matzah per se, but.
Does it connect to Be'ah? Or
no, not so much, but. Not even Pesach, but on Pesach, everybody's using matzah. But the other times that people might not use matzah. But the question is, what does it accomplish? And what's the whole purpose of the Erev Tavshilin? So again, because we said, if there would be a real Isser to cook from Yontif to Shabbos, then it's not going to accomplish anything. So clearly there isn't, but the question is, what does it do? So Amar Rava, so Gemara's my timer, what's the reason? So we have a machlokas between Rava and Ravashi. Amar Rava Kadesh Yivar Mana Yafel Shabbos and Mana Yafel Yontif. That you should have something nice for Shabbos and something nice for Yontif. So the Erev Tavshilin by cooking on Friday, so what do you basically do? On Erev Yontif, sorry, by cooking on Erev Yontif, basically what are you doing? You're starting to cook your Shabbos Suda. So that reminds you that when I'm going to be cooking on Yontif, right, I should make sure that not to forget about Shabbos. Mm-hmm. And comes Ravashi, and Ravashi Omar, Kadesh Yomru, and Yontif, me Yontif, the Shabbos. If people are going to say, hey, if you can't cook from Yontif to Shabbos, then Kal V'Chomer, then certainly, Miyom Tov L'Chol. You certainly can't cook from Miyom Tov L'Chol. So if you take these two shitos right off the bat, and you put the two of them together, and try to analyze what is the crux of each of the shitos, so it comes out that Rava's shita is, k'dei sheyivra mana yafel shabbos and mana yafel yontif, Erev Tavshilin is really a din in Kavod Shabbos, that we want to make sure, and Rashi formulates this, Rashi spells this out, you have yontif, and usually what's going to happen is, all the focus is going to be on yontif, and Shabbos is going to kind of be in the background. It's not the case. Shabbos actually has more of Kedusha than Yontif does in actuality. So in order to make sure that Shabbos is not put in the background, but is actually in the foreground, so the Erev Tavshilin reminds us, hey, go ahead and make sure that you have stuff for Shabbos. Comes Ravashi. Ravashi says that, no, this issue is not Kavod Shabbos. The issue is just the opposite. It's the issue of Kavod Yontif. By saying that I can't cook on Yontif for Shabbos, what am I doing? I'm going to say for sure I can't cook from Yontif to Chol, and I'm going to be preserving the integrity, or I'm going to be preserving the Kedusha of Yontif itself. I'm going to say, wait a second, Yontif is not Hefker, Yontif is not free-for-all. Yeah, I could do whatever, I just can't do whatever I want. So, what's a nafkamina, what's the halachic practical difference between these two cases? So, I want to bring one from the Rishonim, and bring one down from the Achronim. So the first shaila is, does it have to be made on Erev Yontif as well? So that actually the Gemara.
So at this point it makes Shabbos or
Yontif. It's either to help, it's either to build up Shabbos or to build up Yontif. And what's the difference if you say it's to build up Shabbos or it's to build up Yontif? Okay, fine. The Meister, you're going to do it. But is there a difference depending on what reason you hold? Uh-huh. It will lead out in a certain situations, right?
Practical.
Right, certain practical applications that will decide depending what reason you have, that's going to influence the halacha. So, in order to do this, the Gemara actually brings down a little question from the Mishnah, and the Gemara actually says, well, wait a second, let's look at our Mishnah. And our Mishnah could really decide between the two opinions that we have. It says, Tinan, Ose Tavshil me Erev Yontif, Isome Chalav L'Shabbos. It says that you make the Erev Tavshilin on Erev Yontif, and that you can rely on Shabbos. So, Bishlamal Ravashi, Damra Kadesh Yomru Enofi me Yontif L'Shabbos. If you're going to say the whole issue is because of Kavod Yontif, so Hainu me Erev Yontif in, be Yontif in low. I can see why you have to make the Erev Tavshilin before Yontif. El Rava, but according to Rava, my Iriam Erev Yontif, why mention Erev Yontif? I feel it'll be Yontif Nami. Again, if you can find out on Shabbos, hey, listen, you know what? I'm about to cook for Yontif. You know what I'm going to do is, right away, Erev Tavshilin. Erev Tavshilin is going to remind me, take care of Shabbos also. Don't forget about Shabbos when you're going to eat. Don't forget about Shabbos when you're going to prepare. So why can I do that on Yontif itself? So the Gemara says, actually, you really could. In Achanami, El Gzeira Shema Yifsha. Rather, it's a Gzeira, it's a Takana that we don't want you to forget. So because we don't want you to forget, so that's why you can't do it on Yontif itself. But the truth is, if you look at this, right, depending on the thing, does the Erev Tavshilin have to be made on Erev Yontif or not? Right from this Gemara, we see that, according to Rava, technically no. According to Ravashi, technically yes. But interestingly enough, this does present a nafkamina. The nafkamina would be, what about if, let's talk about the situation where we might be having a form chutz la'aretz. Hopefully, we won't have to have it, but in case you have to have it, is where you have a couple yom tovim back to back to back. You have a Thursday, Friday, Rosh Hashanah, a Thursday, Friday, Sukkot, and a Thursday, Friday, Shemini Atzeres. Could you use one erev tavshilin for all of them? So now you're going to say, wait a second, it's going to spoil. So wait, if you use matzah, so matzah is not going to spoil, and one of the reasons why they used to use an egg is because an egg used to last without refrigeration. So today, actually, some poskim that say really you don't even need to use an egg. You should use something a little better. Use chicken, use fish, use something a little bit more chashuv. Today, it's not really an issue either because you just put it in the freezer.
Yeah, but is it considered chashuv? If they're talking about either being machshuv Shabbos or Yontif, is a matzah and egg really chashuv?
Well, not as much, right. So that might not be so much. But okay, so today, so you take a challah, you put it in the freezer. I know my wife goes and bakes challah, it lasts for four or five weeks at a time. Right, same thing. You take a nice piece of chicken, a nice big turkey leg, a nice big gezunta piece of meat, and take it out there. Oh, you make your air, put it in the freezer, and there you go. And they take it out for the last days of Sukkot. Right?
It sounds like there's no idea of having to eat it.
Right. So, well, at least, well, you don't have to necessarily, right? I know there's people who are mahadir to eat it on Shabbos.
On Shabbos.
I know, so we usually do. We always eat it at Tavshilin for Shabbos, yeah. But...
You don't have to, you're saying.
Right, yeah, technically you don't have to. Yeah, technically you don't have to. So the question is like this. If you're going to say it's an issue of Yontif, then what's it called? It may be before, right? But if it's a question of Kavod Shabbos, then you got to do it, you know, to remember Shabbos. So then you have to make one for every single Yontif. Meaning, according to...
If it's for Shabbos, then each Shabbos has to be remembered. But if it's for Yontif...
Just remember, you have to treat Yontif properly. So, yeah, so it was, what's the... You know,
one
Yontif will tell me the oldest will be there. So that's one... That's particularly one Nafkamina.
What about from year to year? Could that even transfer over? Like,
in theory, right? The whole issue is you just don't want to make sure it's not going to get all disgusting and stuff like that. But...
You can get some
cryogen, right? You know, you dry freeze it or something like that. You put like you deep freeze cheese. It, right? Right. So mold. Oh.
Mold, I don't think it'll work.
So that might be a problem. It's got to be a top shield. It's got to be cooked.
Oh,
so cheese isn't cooked.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, you get some. They age the right, but no, but it's got to be cooked, right? The aged steaks aren't.
Isn't there a sheet also that says two tafshila?
So that's really because that comes a little bit later on, right? That's Beis Shammai. That's how we understand Beis Shammai. But let's give a different nafkamina. Another nafkamina is. What happens if, you know, this is brought down by the Tzlach, if you eat the Erev on Friday after you ate your meal? So, you know, the Mishnah says already you can't cook if the Erev Tavshilin gets lost. So, according to Rava, who says...
You want to cook now after you eat.
Yeah, after you eat. So, according to Rava, who says the problem is, you know, the problem is the whole purpose is to remember Shabbos. Well, you know, you're going to remember Shabbos, right? Because, you know, your meal's over. Right? You're not going to, like, you know, the whole question is, you know, you're going to forget about Shabbos and not leave anything there. You know, not a problem. But if the issue is, as far as cooking for, you know, making sure that if you when you cook for your Yontif to Shabbos, you have some kind of a hecker that it's only because of this, well, in that case, you wouldn't be allowed to do it. One just more question brought down by the Rishonim, and then it's sort of an interesting application. So the Mishnah says also, it says, Neva lo yochal, right? If it's lost, alcho sha'ava lo yivash lo b'tchila. So the question is this. The Ram brings up a question and says, listen, I understand. If you're going to say the whole issue is because of Yontif and preserving the Kedusha of Yontif, so I can understand if, you know, you don't have it, you can't do it. But if the whole issue is that you remember Shabbos, so what if you lost the Erev Tavshilin? Right? Kavod Shabbos, why shouldn't Kavod Shabbos work over that case? So the Ron says a very interesting answer. He says that it's better that you go ahead and take one Shabbos and not have such an onik Shabbos. And that whole Shabbos, you're going to be sitting there with your can of tuna fish, your jar of peanut butter, you're going to be like, oh, I should have had the air of Tavshilin. I should have had the air of Tavshilin. You know what's going to happen? The rest of your life, you're going to keep Shabbos. Like, you're always going to look back at this. Oh, you remember the time that Dad lost the air of Tavshilin and we had to eat peanut butter? Every simcha, every single Shabbos is going to be there. Of course, father's going to be angry.
Why don't you say you hold on the community rows?
So that we're not supposed to write. So that's a whole different story about whether you're allowed to go ahead and do that or not. But let's
you should eat peanut butter over holding.
No, that I think for a one-time deal you could. You but right, but like it may be a situation you didn't know or whatever the it was, right? But in a situation like that, right? So in a case like that, we say that yeah, you know what, the Ron says. Forget about it. You know, you lose one, and that will cover that. You know, that you'll remember better. And Rav Zilberstein brings down that he says that this is kind of based on the concept of the egel, where like you know Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what, let's break this. You know, we break the luchos now. They're never going to go ahead and do something like this again. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of happened, and they actually brought down a shaila that took place once. It happened in Meisharim once in the Shtibluch minyanim over there. And the Chazan's davening Shmona Esrei. Gets the first bracha, gets the second bracha, finishes Mechayim Mesim, goes straight to Atta Kadosh. And by Rifa'inu, all of a sudden they woke up and realized, hey, wait a second, didn't say Kedusha. So, it's a good thing having Rav Yoshev, Zichron Levrocha, davening in the Shtiblach all the time, is you can write over to Rav Yoshev. So they went, Rav Yoshev says, no Chazar Shashat today. I'm like, why? He goes, clearly, you weren't listening to Chazar Sashatz for the first five bracha. You know what? You lost it. Remember it for the next time that you don't go ahead and go ahead and do it. They actually tell another mice about there was a certain rav in, it didn't say where, obviously, but in a big prominent shul in New York at some point. Maybe we all heard the story. Maybe it was before our time. I probably remembered it. Where it was a very noisy shul, unfortunately. And they're laning and they're making a lot of noise. So the rav walks up to the bima. and bangs the Bavilion goes, no more laning today. And quickly picked up, took the Sefer Torah and brought the Sefer Torah back. Chor was probably after he signed his lifetime contract. With the Balabas who donated the Sefer Torah, but the Chor, that's what happened. Huh? I guess they did Musav, right? But the question is, could he do that? And Zilberstein says, yeah, because based on this whole concept of, you know, mess up one, if you, you know, it's okay sometimes to do something one time, miss one, so that everything else will be good. So you already see that little concept comes up from the air of Tavshilin with the Ram.
That's why maybe like Shabbos candles, if one misses, they add on, right?
Yeah, that's the thing, right? It could be also, right? You know, you miss it once, so that's why you add on the...
It's like...
Take one for the team.
Yeah. That's actually one of the makoros for the minhag, that the that when a woman gives birth and she has a new baby, that's one of the reasons why they also light an extra candle. We always have to grow up thinking that, you know, oh, because, you know, it's two people in the family, three people in the family, four people in the family. This is my candle. The kids fight. No, this is mine. I once saw it brought down in halacha that it's one of the reasons is because a lot of times a woman gives birth in the hospital, she's over at her shop, but she can't light candles. So this is like, you know, so this is a practical application of the halacha. I guess not to embarrass them, whatever it is they do, the minhag developed at every single one. But that's one of the makoros for the minhag, is
that's
that
interesting.
Yeah, is because, you know, women's in the hospital, they always get a chance to light the candles, but...
Yeah.
Right.